May I speak in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Luke chapter 3. This is quite a significant passage because this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry and really the start of the end of John the Baptist's. So what's important in this chapter? Is John irrelevant in this? What's going on? So John the Baptist is baptizing. It's kind of in his name, that's why we call him that. He was baptizing to prepare people for Jesus' coming. God's about to arrive. Get ready, get baptized. But why? What does it mean? What is baptism? Why is that? Why is John's job so important and this chapter so important to prepare us for what Jesus is going to do? Jesus' ministry, his life, is being set up by this chapter. So let's look into it. And I want to start with a story from 2 Kings 5, this Naaman character. So I want to start with it. Naaman is this ancient army commander, and he had these similar questions. Why is baptism important? Why do I have to do it? He had those same kind of questions. So Naaman had leprosy. He was infected with death. Having leprosy in the Bible is like you're dying. You're surely dead. So he had leprosy, and he went to the Lord's prophet at the time, and he wanted to be healed, wanted to be cured. And the prophet's like, yeah, you can be, but you need to take a bath in the Jordan River. Now, the reason that's so important is that's quite similar to what John the Baptist is doing in Luke chapter 3, telling everybody, before God comes, you've got to take a bath in the Jordan, a washing. Now, Naaman, this army commander, at first complains, not thinking a bath is enough to cure death, which he's right. A simple washing doesn't cure his disease that he's got or this condition of humanity. Simply washing isn't going to fix Naaman. And yet, if you read that story, it does. It does cure him. It does heal him. Simply washing himself in a river. You can see he complains because he's like, I wash all the time and in better water. Why is this going to make a difference? And it does, though. It does make a difference. Why? And it's because what was happening with Naaman was not simply a complicated bath or a ritual bath, but a kind of baptism. That's what Naaman was going through. Naaman, after that washing, became a totally new person. It wasn't just his leprosy that was cured. His whole life got changed completely, simply from a bath. Because something amazing happens to Naaman after. After he has that washing, he believes now he belongs to this new Lord. He believes he's a citizen of a different kingdom, even while he serves somewhere else. He believes he belongs to this God, even while miles and miles away. Naaman belonged to this kingdom of God after this bath. And in the story, he has an amazing request. He believes he belongs to this God, even though he's got to enter other temples, temples to idols or other gods. That's how strong this bath was. He thought, it doesn't matter where I go, what I do, now I belong to this God. Naaman became a new kind of person, a new kind of citizen from just a bath in dirty water. Now, it's a strange event, but actually this event happens throughout the Bible and on larger scales. We've got Noah, we've got Jacob, we've got Joseph, Moses, David, and Jesus, or Joshua, in the Old Testament. They all go through water, either a river, a sea, or a flood, and afterwards they become new people, new kinds of people. They become closer to God, belong to him, dedicated to the Lord. This is what baptism does to a person. But why and how? In the Bible, this passing through water represents death. Hell is often talked about being in the depths of the earth, in the abyss, either beneath the earth or really, especially, at the depths of the waters, deep waters. Noah's flood is a very literal example of this. It was literal death for everybody, unless you came to Jesus, unless you got saved as Noah did. But then for Naaman, this death was more symbolic. He didn't face death. In fact, he was trying to be cured from it. He was running away from it. But Naaman did have to die to himself. A death did occur in that water. And this is what John the Baptist is warning people about. This divine king is coming, and it's a scary thing if you aren't with him. But that joining Jesus' kingdom was actually free. And in fact, in that Naaman story, 2 Kings 5, Naaman tries to pay for his healing. He tries to pay the prophet and say, no, I should pay for this. This is amazing. But the prophet Elisha refused. This healing, this membership is free. You don't have to pay anything. Joining Jesus was free, but not necessarily easy. John was encouraging people that even if they got this free washing, this baptism, their lives still had to be changed. They had to do a complete 180. Repent. Stop doing that. Start doing good. So baptism signifies this cleansing power of our death and sin being washed away, as it was for Naaman. But it also signifies this new birth. This new person you've become to follow Jesus, a death to the old and a gift to the new life. In our reading from Zechariah, we see this happen to the high priest of the time, Joshua, or Jesus in Greek. This whole story is especially important because if in Zechariah you actually just skip over to Zechariah 6, you can see actually, Jesus' name was prophesied through this guy, Jesus, and even that Joshua earlier. The Bible knew what Jesus' name was going to be because of Zechariah chapter 6. So anyway, this event is really, really important. In that story, Joshua's old mess, his old clothes, are taken off of him. And actually, isn't it important to see in that, or comforting to see in that passage, Joshua doesn't take off his own old clothes. He doesn't have to get rid of his mess. Jesus does it. Joshua just comes to him and Jesus takes that mess, that sin from him. But that story carries on. Joshua doesn't just lose his old life. Joshua, in that story, gains new clothes, new hope, and he's given a promise. So Zechariah 3, chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements. So notice even that. Isn't that like what John the Baptist is saying? He's baptized people and he's now saying, if you live rightly, if you obey, if you listen. Isn't that interesting? Even there in this Zechariah 3. So, if you walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, verse 7, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. For Joshua, he had to lose his old life. And if he followed Jesus fully, this branch, then he will belong to a new kingdom, belong in God's own house, be a part of God's own family. Baptism is a sign of that. Death to sin, death to the old life, resurrection to new life, new clothes, a new covenant to follow and a divine family to belong to. That's what baptism signifies. That's amazing. But what has that or that message got to do with Jesus? If this complicated bath can do all of that, why is John still pointing to Jesus? If that bath can really do all of that, what more do we need? So here are some amazing things. In that Zechariah 3, verse 9, listen to that. Just after Joshua has had all his sin taken away from him, but then listen in verse 9. This is what the Lord says. I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. But hasn't it been gotten rid of? Joshua's lost his old clothes, his old life, his mess. It's already gone, isn't it? Again, in the Naaman story in 2 Kings 5, Naaman, his leprosy goes. He's cured. But later in that story, someone doesn't follow Jesus. They don't obey. And Elisha says, that leprosy is now going to cling to you. So Naaman's leprosy didn't disappear. Rather, it changed owner. John the Baptist in John's Gospel says this of Jesus. So remember, John the Baptist, we prayed actually in the Song of Zechariah that John is going to forgive, he's going to set this path for people to be forgiven of all their sins. So why then does John still point to Jesus? And why does he say this? If baptism really cures you, cleans you, why does he say this later? Of Jesus, he sees him, he says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Joshua's clothes, his old clothes, his mess, they were taken away from him, but not destroyed yet. Do you notice that? And Naaman's leprosy, it was still around, just not on Naaman. Why was there a need to remain faithful if the baptism dealt with the sin that John was talking about? Joshua's mess still existed. It just wasn't Joshua's anymore. That mess and sin and evil and guilt and curse and void, all of that wasn't Joshua's responsibility anymore. In the story, who takes the clothes off of him? The angel of the Lord. It's not Joshua's mess anymore. It's the angel of the Lord's now. Since the beginning of humanity, God has been willing to take away sin and death if we give it to him. But that sin still exists. It hasn't been destroyed yet at that point. That is why Jesus matters for baptism. Jesus took those old clothes from Joshua. They belong to him now. And we see in Genesis, the punishment for sin is death. That mess, those old clothes, deserve death, and they will demand it from its owner. But Jesus owns our death now. And there is a time when he had to die to pay off that guilt, to destroy those clothes. This is why Jesus needs to be baptized himself. Jesus was born and became one of us to die for us. We see in other Gospels, John doesn't like the fact that Jesus is getting baptized because this is what it means, that Jesus has to die. But that's the very reason Jesus came to earth. It's the very reason he was on earth. And we looked last week on this Christmas, this Christmas, this birth of Jesus. It's celebrated because Jesus is going to die for us. So he's finally going to take away that sin that he's been taking off of us from the beginning. But there is another great message in Jesus getting baptized. Having this washing, also, it doesn't just mean you're clean or the sin's gone. It also means you're reborn into a new family, a new kingdom to belong to. So this is Jesus leading the way into God's family. this membership is a big point that Luke is actually trying to highlight. So notice two things in this Luke chapter 3. Notice, John the Baptist says, before the baptism, do not begin to say we have Abraham as our father. Don't think that family is going to save you. And then also, notice what Luke adds at the end of the chapter. When Jesus gets baptized, he lists Jesus' genealogy, his family, the genealogy of Jesus, the Son of God. Why are these significant? It's because being Abraham's child or children, being part of that, that doesn't save you. He didn't. As John goes on to say, God can actually raise up children from just stones if he wanted. That's not what matters. What matters is, are you a part of Jesus' family as Abraham was? Are you a family member of God? Are you a child of God? Jesus' genealogy at the end is telling us something big. There is a new humanity, a new kind of person being born now, better than Adam, a new, better Son of God, who's actually always been better. He's always been there. He was the original, and that version 1.0 Adam failed. So now there's a new branch, a new line, a new river that we can now get in, be a part of. I just want to cover, because when we talk about baptism, I know I go on about the crossing of the Jordan, so I'm just going to briefly cover it. I love that story, and I really want to cover it for this. So, there is a story in the book of Joshua when the church has got to cross a river. And this river is leading to the Dead Sea. It's a river of death. That's frightening. That's terrifying. But when God steps in this river, when God gets baptized first, this river of death stops. It retroactively stops and piles up at a place called Adam. That cursed humanity, when God gets baptized, all of that curse stopped before. Goes back in time. It stops preemptively. Isn't that amazing? God's baptism stops this line of death, this river of death. If we get baptized, if we cross that river, we aren't trapped in our old humanity, Adam's humanity, anymore, because God has made a way. We are made new, but also made new together. Listen to these bits of an amazing Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 8 to 9. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy, for the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. And then verse 8 and 9, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. Ready? The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. That is John the Baptist's point. He was baptizing everyone who came to him, Gentile and Jew, sinner and righteous, rich and poor, male and female. But they would all become this children of the God of Abraham, belong to God. Through baptism in the name of Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, the entire world can become united, belonging to God. That's Psalm 47. How amazing is that? The whole world can belong to this family, this people of God. And then the final point is this. Are we living as baptized people, washed people, newborn people? Joshua, the high priest from Zechariah 3, was washed and given a new chance, but with a caveat, on a condition that he follow Jesus' words. Joining God's family is free. No money, no fame, no rank can get you in. In fact, Jesus claims they actually make it harder. But once we're in, there are expectations, ways of living in this family. Do we live like that? The axe is at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. We've been given a chance to live a new life that is free from sin, free from curse, free from the fear of death, but we are only free in Jesus Christ. We are only free if we belong to him, because he defeated those things, not us. We can't. And Jesus makes it clear. Baptism is the start of this journey, but what he wants is to continue that, to seek him, to remain with him, to obey him, to listen to him. That is the good fruit of a born-again, washed, forgiven, covenant, loving new member of Jesus' family. Just to close, recently we looked at Peter's first epistle, his first letter. And I just want to close with these two notes that Peter makes about baptism, about being born again. So firstly, 1 Peter 1, verse 22 to 23. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again. As a church, as St. Crispin's, we are a born-again family and should act like it, loving one another. And Jesus himself said that love will show the world and prove to the world we really belong to Jesus. And then finally, Peter summarizes baptism and what it means to us and what gives it the power to save. So let's end by listening to this from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 to 22. God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So, to God be ascribed all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.